This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tiger basketball. Yeah, we haven't gotten much into the actual game last night. The Tigers fall to North Carolina 84-76. And you can always fall into the trap of overreacting to what you did or didn't see. And as we'd kind of mentioned with Mark a little bit, we have zero context of what we saw last night. We don't know how good North Carolina is or isn't. We don't really know how good the Tigers are or aren't. But I do think there's a few observations that you can make and say, okay, this is at least something to watch for. And I think when we look back to last season, part of fan frustration beyond the results was far too often when you watched the team, there were so many games where you thought to yourself, do they even care? And I understand with last night, North Carolina being in the building, that brings a different level of juice. And to be clear, we didn't really have that question during non-con play. Like, even when they lost a couple of games, like, I didn't feel like, and you tell me if you felt differently, when they lost at Ole Miss, I didn't feel like it was an effort problem. Like, they missed a couple of shots late, Ole Miss hit a couple of shots late, and that was a one-possession game on the road, whatnot. And then, let's see, what was the other loss early? I guess maybe if you wanted to say the Villanova loss, but I kind of viewed that as, that was the classic example, third game in 3 days in the Bahamas, Villanova game, and Nova came out and made everything that they looked at. It's like that type of game just happens. But there were far too many games in conference play and in that part of the season where you just thought to yourself, do these guys even care? But last night, I think what you saw is even when maybe they weren't getting stops, I felt like the effort was a different type of intensity last night, particularly on the defensive end.
And yeah, well, what do you contribute that to, right? Or the players, are they out there playing for St. Jude, or are they out there playing because of the opponent? Is it, I mean, as you mentioned, those other teams that they lost to early last year, those are some big time names on the other jerseys. Is it the new assistant coaches that we've got? Or is it just because it's so many new players, which it is every year?
I think what I'm at least attributing to now, and if we see more, I'll be happy to change my opinion. I'm going to take the comments that I'm hearing about the program at face value, that this team is going to have an image that is much more in Penny's likeness, a team that Penny likes coaching more. And to me, it was not a perfect performance. Like, let's be clear. I mean, they still gave up 84 points to a team that wasn't playing without their best player. But as Penny said postgame, we didn't get into our press. We didn't do trapping. We didn't get into some of the other things that have led us to be a better defense. I just think, in general, this team's mindset is going to line up much more closely than what Penny envisions his team's looking like.
That's fair. And so, I mean, last night it gave you hope. It gave you hope in that direction. for sure, even though they did lose. They started, the game started, the Tigers were, you know, in the lead for
yeah.
for that first half. So, like, they were playing like it meant something, and yeah, it just didn't work out at the end. They're playing a team that is preseason top 10, right? Yes, we don't know. You can't take the rate, but once the game starts is when you start learning, right?
Correct. So
the game's kind of started last night. I mean, I think both teams treated it like a real game, even though they were not at full strength. It was still treated in that regard. So you got to learn a little bit on, and if you're a Tiger fan, you got to be hopeful because it seemed like some issues you've had before.
Turnovers.
Yes, exactly. You didn't have those glaring as much. It was not as much of a big deal last night with most of the problems that you've seen. But it was one game, and it was for St. Jude. Maybe every game should be for St. Jude. Can we figure out a deal there? That wouldn't be bad. I'd be for that.
I don't know if the athletic department would be.
I know we got to get some money
yeah.
somehow.
Yeah, so yeah. There is a financial element.
This, you know, this,
now
the Olympic sports have got to, you know, have a budget so they can travel.
The other thing that I'm at least flagging.
Yes.
I don't think Colby Rogers is going to go 2 of 11 from three because he has a fairly established sample size that would suggest that's not what he is as a shooter. With that said, the rest of the team, I do not think this is going to be a particularly great shooting team. Now, if you can do the other things well, there are plenty of really good basketball teams in college basketball that are not great shooting teams.
Oh, yeah.
If this team can be defensively very tough, very physical, they can be a good rebounding team. If they can limit, like, maybe not have 22 turnovers, like maybe cut it down to like 15 turnovers or so, they have the makings to be a very good team. And I just don't know if they're going to be a good shooting team.
Right. If you want to look at the expectations, and you talked about it earlier when we had a flashback to Jeffrey and Giannotto there for
yep.
a minute. Like it the expectations for this season, making the tournament, if that is the main got to do it, you know, to make sure there's no conversation about firing Penny. If you make the tournament, that those conversations are not going to happen, at least by anybody with power. Make the tournament will somewhat satisfy the fans. Like, make the tournament. This team last night looked like they could make the tournament.
Very much so. And if you look over, we haven't mentioned it yet, but we've gotten our first KenPom ratings. And so now, KenPom's computer and algorithm would say that it has a projected record of 21-8 and 14-4 in league play. Now, the thing that's very fascinating is, again, we don't have all the games because, you know, there's the tournament, there's Maui, and so we don't have all the opponents. But KenPom's computer right now only has the Tigers losing two games. The UConn game, 77-70 at Maui, and then at Clemson, 77-71. The rest, when you start going through, it's W's, W's, W's. Now, when people go, well, how's that possible? And it says 21-8. Well, that's because even if you have a 57% chance of winning the game, like the computer is factoring in, you're not going to win all those 57% games. So it comes up with 21-8. But 14-4 would also be the best mark in the league. And it would be the best mark in the league by a couple of games. And I am very much of the opinion, if the league is going to get two teams, the only way that it's getting two teams is if Memphis doesn't win the conference tournament and they handle business early in the regular season. We also got a little bit of other news. We got some scheduling and television scheduling news. This from Parth Padyai over at the Daily Memphian. The AAC announced game times and TV assignments for conference games for all teams via press release on today, nearly 3 weeks after the league released its full schedules in late September. 13 of Memphis's 18 conference games will be nationally televised, appearing on either ESPN, ESPN2, or ESPNU. The Tigers are still awaiting for a tip-off time for their road game against Charlotte on January 19th, which is set to be broadcast on either ESPN, ESPN2, or ESPNU.
That's great news, because, I mean,
Well, it shows you the mindset of the league right now.
Right.
We are making sure the Tigers
Making sure the Tigers
are going to be very much on people's television set.
Don't want to be saying, hey, man, this game's on ESPN Plus. This game's on ESPN Plus. Which, to jump into, you know, and they're doing that, obviously, for the conference wants to make Memphis happy for the next moves here in conference realignment, whether it is involving the Pac-12 or not, which I'm confident, you know, without any sources or anything, just understanding the landscape of television, that the Pac-12's TV deal will include a lot of actual televised games as well and won't be reliant on streaming services. But you get to see all of them, right? The other games are going to be on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, so the five remaining, the five remaining will be on ESPN Plus. So that means East Carolina at home will be on Plus. That means that the Rice Road game on February 2nd will be on ESPN Plus. Tulsa, the following on the 5th, will be ESPN Plus. Rice at home will be ESPN Plus, and then the UTSA game on March the 4th will be on Plus. The remaining of the games will be on a linear ESPN channel. And I think you're right. It's also, it's kind of serving two functions. One, as you said, you know, the league very much knows, like, it's probably in their best interest to at least look like they're doing a lot for Memphis and keeping Memphis happy. It also serves them well because, you know, if Memphis is going...
Who else are
going
to put on in this game?
Well, and more importantly, it's like, you know, hey, if... Like, let's say Memphis gets off to a better-than-expected start in non-con play. Like, let's say they're not 13-2 again, but, like, let's say that they're, you know, that they're 10-5 and they've got two or three big-time wins. You know, for sure, quad one wins, three or four of them. And, hey, we want them on TV as much as possible to give them showcase opportunities to improve their seed. So it... Because that benefits the conference as well. Like, the conference would prefer to get as many teams in as possible. And if you can have Memphis that earns their way into the tournament, even without depending on winning the automatic bid, well, that gives you an extra bid for the league. And so having them at the forefront and having everybody go, oh, that's a tournament team, don't even worry about what happens in the conference tournament, that's to their benefit as well.
It seems like it's like another accidental benefit for being in the American Athletic Conference. Like, the schedule, terrible, right? But because of Memphis' position this year, they had a chance, and they might still have a chance. It doesn't look like Boise's awesome of getting into the playoffs, right? Like, then football wise, you could get into the college football playoffs. You're in better position, even though you're in an awful spot overall. You're in a better position when it comes to making the college football playoffs, and you're also now apparently you're in this awful conference, but you're the top dog in the conference, so you're in better position to be on television, and it might be easier than ever this season to find, like, it, not ever, but, like, in a long, long time.
For sure.
Of finding the Tiger games on television and not having to have, we've got a lot of older Tiger fans and having to figure out the stuff on the apps, or even if you're going to, you know, I'm at a bar and restaurant every single night, I'll be at a Celtic tonight for trivia, and it's like, to get those streaming games on television to watch them even at a bar is a complicated process. So it's going to be easier, despite the circumstances the Tigers are in. Most fans, we don't like it, but it does benefit the fact this year it looks like, hey, you know, you're the best team in the conference. We're going to put you on TV, and luckily the American has a great TV deal, at least at this point.
Did you find yourself feeling any particular way about this team, good, bad, indifferent? Did you have no change? No, when you actually got to see, okay, we get to see the guys in their jerseys, whatnot, seeing them play, you know, basketball with officials and scorekeeping. Did you feel any particular way?
I don't know if I'm going to feel a way until Selection Sunday. Like, I'm going to watch these games because you got that sinking, and it's worse now than it's been for Tiger fans in a minute, because you just feel like you get the positives. It can turn around so quickly, right?
Sure.
And when it happens, it can turn around in the NBA when it happens. Like, you could lose games and it doesn't really matter as much. But the Tigers have got to win certain games and can't lose other games. And last
time, it's a lot of low reward situations.
Right. A lot of low reward.
High risk, low rewards. That's not a great way to do investing.
Right. Yeah, because you always talk, like when Calipari, when he was here, like, you never lost a game you were supposed to win. Like, that was always an important thing. And when you're in the position that Memphis is in, like, just, like, holding down the fort, like, defending the home court against teams that you're not supposed to. Anyway, it didn't change it at all, but it is interesting because I'm also I don't know. It's a bizarre time to be in because we had this North Carolina, and the next big game is another exhibition game, and these might be the two biggest games of the year. They don't matter. They're in October.
But they're like October. On paper, they're the most interesting. I guess you could say. I mean, playing UConn in Maui,
that'll be fun.
But to your point, like that'll you know, be fun. Carolina and Bama are,
but like Bama is a top two team, and we're playing them in like 12 days, right? Like it's coming up. It's right before Halloween. That game in Huntsville, that game is intriguing. And I, even though these games don't count, and I'd rather they would count, and people would care more about them if they did count, it's something.
Well, you'd like to have the context of a game mattering because, like, all right, like I said, correct, I'll take Penny at his.
I want stakes.
Also, like, we'll take Penny at his word. They didn't prepare for this game like they would a normal game. They didn't run particular sets. They didn't do things that they would do. Because this isn't a game that counts, and you want to keep some things in your pocket. Okay, I'll take him at his word. Like, it's obvious you can take him at his word to a certain degree. It's like, they didn't trap, they didn't press. Like, we know that that's things that they're going to do. So, I'm with you on that.
And I don't know if I agree with that strategy, but...
Correct. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, I don't know if those guards, that's exactly what you'd want to do. But we've seen that is what they like to do. They like to turn up the pressure.
I mean, because while on paper it was not a real game last night, and this game in Alabama is not going to be a real game, but like it would have mattered if the Tigers won.
Sure,
like it would have mattered to the city and the fan base needs this jolt of excitement that if you beat North Carolina, even in a game that doesn't matter, because that's easy to say when you lose it, but if you win it, you're going to act like it was a big deal because you beat North Carolina. How often do you play North Carolina, whether the game counts or not? So I think the important thing, okay, it doesn't matter for KenPom. It
right.
Does maybe. They factor it in. Possibly.
No,
they don't
not
even
really,
factor
yeah.
anything at all in on it?
Not really because it's not real data.
Because it's a computer, though.
Yeah, but it's also, it's not.
So AI.
It's not kind of honest data. I'm not saying like that.
We won't see any AI robots coming to any exhibition games anytime soon. They don't care about it. That's got to be a real game.
It feels like we're a little bit away from that. just
I don't know if
you've
seen this stuff out there with the Elon Musk robot that was.
What did he do this time?
There was a he had a robot walking around talking to people at some Tesla convention or something. I'll find it for
okay.
you. But it looked like the from the Will Smith movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the robot. This happened. It was a few days ago. I was like, "Yeah, he is." But anyway, we got off track. But I think the game does matter in a way. It matters in a way for the mood, but it's not gonna matter if you beat North Carolina last night, and then you end up, you know, just being terrible. Other points, it's not gonna matter. But if you want to generate some interest going into the season. That would have helped. It definitely would have helped. It would have helped season ticket sales. It would have helped the conversation because you know the Grizzlies are about to start as well. Which this game's on the 28th. How close is this Alabama game to the Grizzlies home opener? It seems like
so
very
the Grizzlies
close.
Open on the road next week, and I think the home openers is it that
it's really close. I mean, we got lots of games Halloween night at FedEx or Halloween week at FedEx.
Jalloween, remember.
Yeah, because it's Jalloween.
Yeah, Jalloween.
Glow in the dark Jalloween shirt.
Tiger football. We haven't really talked about it this week.
We have not. Yeah.
It's kind of a weird game. The Tigers are taking on North Texas, and North Texas is 5-1. Now, when you dig into their 5-1, you don't really know what to make of it. They've got to win. At South Alabama to start the year, South Alabama is like a slightly above average Sun Belt team. They beat Stephen F. Austin 35-20. They get absolutely blitzed by Texas Tech. That's their one loss. They have a 44-17 win over Wyoming. They have a 52-20 win over Tulsa. Those two teams are god-awful. And then they win at FAU this past weekend, 41-37. So high explosive offense. But what I thought was interesting is when the line was released early, it came out when it opened at 10.5 in favor of the Tigers. A ton of money came in on North Texas, and the line moved more to Memphis's favor. So we have some reverse line movement. But what I am actually interested on this Saturday, Memphis has kind of had a couple of sleepwalky games the last two times we've gotten to see them, particularly on offense. I think the defense has been pretty good in both those games. But you're now going up against a team that can really score. And is this team equipped to just get into a shootout? Because what we've seen is kind of the formula of they basically tried to get leads early and lean on their defense and build up a lead and kind of suffocate you. But this is one of those games where it's like, if the game script gets a little weird, North Texas' defense is probably going to be horrendous. So if you want to talk about could they score on them, sure. But the last two defenses that we've seen, South Florida and MTSU, it's not like they're built on defense. And so I do think it's kind of an intriguing matchup in that sense of this is a test that Memphis really hasn't seen, in which someone is just going to come in and try to light the scoreboard up and see if you can catch them.
Yeah, this is what I remember at the preseason, you pointing out this game on the schedule.
Could be a fun, I was trying to make a case for like a fun home game. And now maybe some people are like, I don't like those high stress shootouts. And this is a game we saw last year where Memphis basically had to score on the last play of the game to win.
People don't like those?
People like them when you win. But right. When you're in the middle of it.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it's almost like every time you don't score, you're thinking, oh my God, game over. There are some people that do not enjoy that.
The game's at 6:30 on Saturday, and it looks like the weather. So we've got football weather now.
Yeah, we're starting to get a little. Although, is it warming up a little? I thought it was warming up a little bit on the weekend.
It probably will be 80. I
just remember my wife saying, "Oh, it's going to feel like fall during the week, and then when the actual games start this weekend, that win." So again, we'll talk more about it as the week goes on.
Mean green.
Mean green, and then
mean
an
green.
Eagle is their logo.
It's like a mean green. I don't know. Not mean Gene. Mean green.
All right, one more before we get to CJ. Dan Lanning. All right, so Dan Lanning had mentioned on his coach's show on Monday that the 12 men on the field was intentional. That was a strategy that they had used, and it worked to perfection. Well, of course, that sends off the college football rules people. That makes them really mad. Also, Dan learned a very, very valuable lesson. If you're going to outsmart someone, you can't outsmart Ohio State, because Ohio State just starts acting like a bunch of crybabies. See, when we've been stealing signs, but Michigan stole ours, so they must be punished. They must go straight to jail. David Cobb wrote this over at CBS Sports. A rules loophole that allowed Oregon to gain an advantage by using 12 players on a key play late in its win over Ohio State last weekend is closed. On Wednesday, NCAA coordinator of officials Steve Shaw announced a new interpretation of the rule that will keep teams from replicating what the Ducks did in the closing moments of their 32-31 win over the Buckeyes. With Ohio State trailing by a point with 10 seconds left and facing a 3rd-and-25 from Oregon's 43-yard line, the Ducks ran an extra man onto the field before Buckeyes quarterback Will Howard fired an interception. Though the Ducks were assessed a 5-yard penalty, they succeeded in running valuable time off of the clock as the Buckeyes failed to pick up the chunk of yardage they needed against Oregon's illegal defense. Under the old rule, the Buckeyes could not recover the time run off of the clock during the play. Thus, a 5-yard penalty was a small price for Oregon to pay in exchange for the benefit of an extra defender with the game on the line. Following the infraction, Ohio State was only able to run one more play, and the Ducks escaped with a momentous victory in the national spotlight. Moving forward, if the defense is flagged for having too many men on the field, officials will reset the game clock to the amount of time that was left prior to the infraction. So what I'm actually interested in is I'm curious to know if like the NFL adopts this too, because the NFL, it's the same thing where, you know, if an offense runs a play and they get a penalty, obviously Oregon, I mean, I beg your pardon, obviously Ohio State was going to take the penalty because it was they threw an interception. If they don't take the penalty, their game's over. But there are some situations where you would have a 5-yard penalty and, you know, maybe the gain is like 13, 14 yards. Like, okay, we'll take the play. But the key to me is, I think this was a couple of problems that I had with Will Howard late. It's kind of a lack of awareness. Like, I get it. There are 12 men on the field, but you should fire deep in that situation. Like, think about what we see all the time when a guy's running off the field. You snap it to get a free play. We have the helmet communication. Why is it not communicated to him? They have too many guys on the field. Like, yes, you are going to have to play 11 on 12, but you're getting a free play.
Right.
So you might as well fire it up, maybe get pass interference, but whatnot. Like, I credit Lanning for this working, but at the same time, it's like, I also kind of dock Ohio State. Like, you had a free play there. You're at the 43. You were nowhere near field goal range for your kicker. Like, you should have been throwing the ball down the field with a free play.
Right. They didn't get it done. But it's a smart use of that loophole. I mean, it's...
I also wonder if it's going to...
It makes sense to change it to prevent people from doing it if you know.
Right. But are we going to... I'm curious to know, is this only going to be in the last 2 minutes that they're going to do that? Because typically what we'll see is, like, if they're 5 minutes into the first quarter, they're probably not putting time back on the clock. Is there going to be a stipulation of when you could use this? Is it the final minute only?
I hate rules. I hate them when they're only in a certain time frame of the game. Just any sport, I don't like any.
This is one. This is,
if you figure out a rule that it can be used for the entire time. If you're playing Uno, you can't just say
100%
in the final 2 minutes of the game you can't use the reverse card. Like, it's like you get you.
It's either a rule.
Figure out the rule.
It's either
the
rule or it's not. And this is the other
thing.
Because
every minute of the game matters to me, and should matter the same, because it's a time limited. It's a time limited game here. So, like, every minute should matter. The rule should be the same the entire time.
I know it's fun to blame officials. And I think there's something inherent as sports fans. We need somebody to blame. But I am also someone that does believe in fairness of criticism. We have made the game so much harder for officials because we keep adding...
Right, if it's...
We keep adding C footnote. You know, if clock reads A, then B. If clock reads B, well, then we go to C. It's like, we've just made it harder and harder on officials, and we just expect them to... You know, get it right 1,000% of the time.
I mean, it's football. The clock is stopped and started again quite often. And I believe, like, if this is, I mean, I think it makes this a very logical change that would prevent it from happening. So if you don't.
Well, here's what's not going to prevent it from happening. You ready?
What?
No time change would be made if there were 12 players, but one of them were attempting to leave the field and did not affect the play. So what we're going to start to see is.
Oh, them leaving.
100%. Like, you're going to start with 12 on the field.
We're going to get a replay to see if they were leaving?
Correct. But this is also what I would say. You're going to have guys run off the field, and then guys are going to drop deep. But it is up to the offense. If you're in that situation, you have a free play. You have to chunk it deep.
Right. There's different ways to...
Correct.
Don't make excuses. So the player trying to leave the field is going to be hard to...
I don't see anything based on... timing.
Yeah.
But this doesn't seem like a rule that you're going to implement with 5 minutes left, 5 minutes into a game. This feels like a last 2 minutes thing. You know, it's like the same thing. If you fake an injury in the last 2 minutes, it's either a timeout or a penalty.
Right. Trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you got to work the clock. I mean, the clock, if you could figure out a way to work the clock.
Especially when you're on defense, when you don't have the ball.
That's a lot of what the entire game is, figuring out how to use the clock to your advantage. And, you know, if the rules change, there's nothing like explaining the rules of football to people who have no understanding whatsoever.
I'm curious if CJ cares yet again. We get another rule change for Ohio State. I'm curious to know what his opinion would be on that.
I think I know. Yeah.
Let's talk to him next. We'll do that. We'll also talk some Grizz with him when we come back. Right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This month is Golftoberfest at Birdies. That means if you book online, you can enjoy half-off standard rates all month long. Now's the time to book your holiday event at Birdies, because even if your event happens in November or December, if you book online in Golftober, you will still get the half-off standard rate. Also, on Saturday, Birdies will be helping out Courage Through Cancer Memphis. All 10% of each receipt on Saturday will go towards the Cancer Society. Also, the first 100 people that order a tasty beer or delicious cocktail at Birdies will receive a Breast Cancer Awareness Birdies t-shirt. Follow them on Instagram at Birdies901, golf at Birdies.com for more information. Also, check out the membership rates. $100 a month gets you 10 hours on the simulators as well as additional discounts. We welcome to the program each and every Wednesday CJ Hurt. He, of course, Grind City media personality. You can see him each and every weekday morning on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. You can also follow him on Twitter at ConRadicalNiss. CJ, I know, I'm sure you are absolutely stunned that Ohio State lost a game and immediately started whining about the officiating.
Hey, that's what they do, baby.
They got a rule changed.
That's all they do. All they do is whine. Oh, no, we lost. It's officiating. Oh, no, we lost. You guys were cheating. You guys had our plays. Oh, no, we lost. Oh, I'm Ohio State. All I want to do is whine and cry after every loss. Man, get out of here. I can't stand Ohio State. They get on my damn nerves.
Ryan Day gets on my nerves. I think it's been a little, like, it's almost like, you know, it's like the same thing of, remember when they beat Notre Dame and it felt like he was like cutting a promo on Lou Holtz, and it's like, man, do something.
That was kind of funny,
just do something.
No,
like,
that was kind of funny.
Well, and then he was like, this isn't about the criticism. This is about this team. It's like, no, literally everything you said was just a criticism of you. Like, it was you respond. Now, you have the right to do that. They put a microphone in front of your face, but it's like, stop acting like it's something that's not.
Listen, man, you got lucky and got the, not lucky, right? You got the Ohio State job. You're not getting it out of the mud at Ohio State, right? Like, you're not coming up through the ranks at Ohio State. Once you get there, you've kind of made it. So to act like it's an us against the world, I hate when people do that. And Ryan Day and Ohio State, they are the kings of, oh, no, we have to work so hard. It's us against everybody. And every time I look up, it's Ohio State's got one of the top 10 recruiting classes in the nation, probably top 5 or top 3 in the nation. Ohio State, a program that's unfortunately steeped in college football tradition, rich with tradition and pageantry and all of the stuff that make the sport really, really fun. And they act like they're the underdogs at every turn. They try and lie like they're the underdogs. And they know better. They know they're not the underdogs until they lose. And then once they lose, they start that whine and crying stuff. Every time they lose, all they want to do is whine and cry. Lou Holtz had justifiable criticism of Ryan Day, because up to that point, Ryan Day, you could argue, like, who did he beat that was good up until that point? They go out there, they beat Notre Dame. Great. Those Michigan teams he was beating on, they weren't there yet. He had Jim Harbaugh's number, and then Jim Harbaugh changed the number, and he couldn't catch up, right? So who has Ryan Day and Ohio State beat worth a damn up to that point? I thought the criticism at the time by Lou Holtz was completely fair, and I thought Ryan Day's reaction to it was completely Ohio State, and it does not surprise me at all. If you said, CJ, which Big Ten team whined and got a rule changed after a loss? Three guesses? They will all three be Ohio State, Ohio State, Ohio State, because that's just what they do. They're a bunch of crybabies.
You make an interesting point. Is his best win the one-point loss in the semifinal against Georgia? To me, his best win is either that game, because it's best performance, really, or it's the Clemson semifinal where Fields was just phenomenal, and they beat Clemson in the empty Sugar Bowl, and then they turned around and they had to play Alabama. You know, whoever played Alabama that year was going to lose in that national title game. But I think those are the two best games, right?
Yeah, I would go the Clemson game. And I feel like one of those Penn State and one of those Iowa games was a really good game for Ohio State. I can't remember which year Penn State and the year Iowa was like really, really good. But they since then, they've gotten some of those. One of those will be up there for me as far as his best wins. But this is a program that's got to do it, man. This is a program who all of a sudden looks up, and they get better recruits than Michigan. That's what they do. But we look up, and what, the past 2 years, they've been catching ass whooping from Michigan. They hadn't been to a Big Ten title game in 2 years now, and that's just not going to fly. All of that's not going to fly. You can't – we saw them in the 90s fire Coach Cooper for not being able to beat Michigan. So when it's all said and done, if you're at Ohio State, that's what you got to be able to do. That's what you're going to be measured on. And unfortunately for me this year, Michigan doesn't look like they'll have the explosive offense necessary probably to beat Ohio State the way I think Ohio State deserves to be beat. I think Michigan still wins, but I need them to beat Ohio State by like 50. That's what I need in my life.
All right, let's change course a little bit. How much do you care about these preseason NBA player rankings?
None.
Isn't it interesting that I feel like we spent the last like 3 years focusing on like this is wrong, like look at the disrespect. And it does feel like collectively everyone's been like, I don't care anymore. Like just go out and win games. Who cares? Like I think the fan base collectively has.
Yeah, I think that just talking about Grizzlies fans in particular, just keeping it there for a moment. I think that one of the really interesting things about the fan base is that as the team, especially the core group of the team, Jaren, Ja, Desmond specifically, but you could throw Brandon Clark into that mix, guys who have been around for a while and have been here since the start of this, whatever this, what they call it, Grizz Next Gen, the Next Gen Grizz, right? As those players kind of have grown and matured and expectations have changed for them, I feel like Memphis Grizzlies fans have also grown and matured in a way to where every little preseason slight or perceived slight by this media member or that media member, I feel like it doesn't agitate everybody the way that it once did, right? There would be, if this happened 2 or 3 years ago, oh, Memphis would be a buzz. Everybody will be livid that, you know, Ja is, where's Ja, in the 20s? And
I think he's, well, in ESPN, he's at 20. I think Jaren was like 55, maybe. I haven't looked at the Ringer.
Dez being in the 60s.
Yeah,
right.
Ja's 20 in ESPN, 55 for Jaren, I believe 60 for Dez, and then I think it was like 83 for Marcus Smart.
Yeah, and I think that for Grizzly fans in the past, or Memphians, not just Grizzlies fans, just Memphians, it would be, oh, nobody respects us. Nobody likes Memphis. Everybody's always looking down on Memphis. And sometimes that's true, but there's a fair number of times where that's not, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. And I feel like when those expectations change for the Grizzlies, it also changed for the fans. Like they're holding themselves to a different sort of expectation now. And so I haven't seen anybody come across my now it just came out, but I hadn't seen anybody personally just like flipping the hell out on these rankings. I think it is a quiet competence, not just with the team and the franchise, but with the people in the city. A more of a, less of a, hey, why don't you respect us? And more of a, just you wait and see what we got coming down the pipeline. And I think that's a pretty cool thing to witness as the season gets ready to get started in the NBA.
All right, we'll wrap here. So far, what have you made of what we've seen of Zach Edey? It's been, you know, it's been, I think the last two performances have been pretty good. The first two, you know, up and down. So far, when you think about how he is going to perform this season, where are you right now?
Listen, I would love to see Zach Edey go out there and ball out. And what that looks like, I'm still not 100% sure. But, yo, if Zach Edey with some of those lineups, because you can't play Ja Morant every minute, every yep. game. You can't play Dez every minute, every game. Jaren every minute, every game. Luke Kennard every minute, every game. You will have lineups where they need scoring. And if Edey can be a piece of that lineup that gives you scoring, I think that's really, really intriguing and really, really interesting, because that then means you could go with a really impressive defensive lineup where you play in both Marcus Smart and Vincent Williams Jr. on the perimeter, and then you throw Edey in there in the paint with maybe like a Brandon Clark or something like that, and then when healthy, you might say Gigi, or you could throw Luke Kennard out there in that lineup, and with Gigi out there, that would be a really intriguing defensive lineup because of all the size and the tenacity they could play defense with. I'd wonder who else would be able to provide scoring. If Edey can get buckets back to the baskets now, like we've seen Jonas Valanciunas do a few years back with the Grizzlies, that lineup really intrigues me, not just from a defensive standpoint, but they could score enough as well to where you're not completely abysmal on the offensive side of the court. So I'm interested to see what Zach Edey has in the tank when the season gets started. Now I'm interested to see how Taylor Jenkins uses some of these lineups early on in the season and who fits with whom.
CJ, you're great to join us, buddy. We appreciate it, man.
I appreciate you guys.
That is CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kev, remind everybody where we're going to have trivia and events tonight.
Oh, man, we are playing trivia at Celtic Crossing there in Midtown and also out downtown at the Ghost River Tap Room on Main Street at their Main Street Tap Room. They've got, did you know this, Jeffrey? They've got their new chef there, so they got the food. You know you can get the Hasseltine Sliders, right?
Yes, that's the new spot.
I had those recently, but the New Wing Order food truck closed down, but the guy who was correct. Running that food truck, the guy with all the recipes has taken over the Ghost River Kitchen, so you can get those New Wing Order wings and sauces unofficially, but officially, the little logo things on the menu down there at Ghost River while you're playing trivia. So
all right,
that.
For today's Tell Your Story, we go back to Jerry Jones, who explained to Diana Rossini why he threatened to have Sean and RJ Chappie, of course, my old BetQL co-host, why he threatened to have them removed during his interview with him. I don't know as I would go so far as calling the volume connotation as yelling, but the facts are that if I'm going to be grilled by the tribunal, I don't need it to be those guys. I'm paying them. I can take it from fans and take it from the other people. I take a lot of pride in how far and how much I try to work with the media. We're brothers and sisters, but I was a little frustrated there today. The wrong ones were doing the questioning. Now, if those had been real fans sitting there, or if they had been people that knew what they were talking about, football people, I might have felt a little different and had a different answer. So again, just the wrong people, wrong messengers. That's why they didn't have the right to ask questions. Want to thank, of course, 901 Wrestling. We had Kevin Bless, 901 Wrestling champion, as well as Hunter Havoc in studio. My thanks also to Mark for rejoining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. CJ Hurt as well. Sorry, don't want to forget that. For Dennis, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.